Wow. God is awesome. So two things, this is not my message, but two things. On the way home from work, I just knew I was just supposed to pray in the Spirit today. I had my message or what I was going to share. But anyway, coming down the hill and I was praying in tongues and I was like, okay, Lord, what? And I just kept hearing the Word and the Spirit, the Word and the Spirit. And then on the way tonight, that song came to me. Our God is an awesome God. And I started singing and I was like, I think I should ask Jaime to play that song. So I had a laugh. I was like, okay, Lord. Okay. First of all, I want to thank you, pastors, for, you can sit down. I want to thank you, pastors, for trusting me to share what the Lord's put on my heart for tonight. And all these little papers. I was thinking, how am I going to do this with the microphone and these little papers sticking out? But anyway, I can do it. I am anointed to share this. Amen. So I know Pastor prayed, but Father, I just thank you that I stand before you first of all, and I stand before my church family, and it's all about the Word and the Spirit, and it's about what you have deposited into me that it's time that you want me to share it with them. And so, Holy Spirit, you take this and bring it out the way you want to bring it out in Jesus' name. This might be a little bit different tonight. I'm going to get this out of the way. This might be a little bit different tonight, but I'm led to share the journey of my heart surgery. And this is not a physical heart surgery. This is a spiritual thing. But the first scripture I want to read is 1 Corinthians 12:7. And most of what I'm going to read is out of the Passion Translation. It says, each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. So what the Lord has been doing with me, I feel like he's saying it's now time to share it with you guys, so hopefully you can benefit from it. And I want to preface this, I have not arrived in this, okay? As we're going through all this, I want to make it very clear. I do not stand before you and say, I got it, I'm perfect in this, because I'm still on the table. I'm still on this surgery table. The Word is still working in me. I just believe God wanted me to share it so that you could benefit from what he's showing me. I've been instructed to take you through my Bible study. And I'm going to put this down for a second. This is the book. This is the Passion Translation. It was first given to me in these little books. Mighty actually gave me this. So this is 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so I'm just going to show you. It's not going to take all night. It may look like we'll be here all night, but we really won't. But I just want to show you, this is going to fall out. This is the book that God's been taking me through. So we got this. I don't know if you can see it. This is the journey I've been on with the Lord. And let's see, and we got this, and we got this, and I've got these two things. Okay, so it may not go quite in order because there's definitions mixed in with scriptures. There's other scriptures mixed in. There's thoughts that the Lord gave me along the way. So it may not go in like the exact order. That anyway, to understand the purpose of this journey, I just wanted to give you a little bit of history about me and why I got to this place and how I got to this place. So real short, but I was born in New York. Some of you may know this stuff about me, some may not. I was raised in New Jersey, which is about 20 minutes outside of New York. So there was a great New York influence where I grew up. I had three brothers, two older, one younger. My parents divorced when I was 6, and my dad died at 12. And I believe it was at that point I kind of took on this chip on my shoulder. And I became this very independent, tough girl, don't mess with me attitude. I was a sassy brat, to tell you the truth. I was just, don't mess with me. The people that got to know me would say I was very intimidating to them. So I just took on this very hard, don't mess with me attitude, and I was very bold, but it was a worldly boldness. I had a big mouth, and I wasn't pretty, let's just say that. And, you know, people used to always say to me, not always, but often would say to me, smile, smile. Strangers passing by me, smile. People I knew, smile. And I used to say, I'll smile if I want to smile. You know, but why were they saying that to me? I must have carried this hardness on my face because it was said to me very often, and I didn't like it, but that was the way it was. There was one thing I was never described as, or a few things I was never described as, sweet, gentle, or compassionate. That was never said about me. I had my brother's girlfriend, Jan. People always say, oh, she's so sweet, she's so sweet. Well, that was never anything anybody said about me, and I'm not kidding when I say this. That was not something people said about me. And so I just carried it around that, well, this is the way I am. This is the way I was raised. This is, you know, where I came from. This is it, you know, take it or leave it. And that excuse and reasoning just didn't hold water anymore for me. And I really believe that God started dealing with me. It was no longer an excuse. It was time for change. And I believe it was God initiating that change in me. And I really began to dislike who I was, to tell you the truth. I didn't like what I was seeing on the inside of me. I didn't like it. I really didn't. I really went through a time where I despised who I was. And it was really a time that I had to get before the Lord. And I didn't feel pretty on the inside, but I wanted to feel pretty on the inside. And so I want to share this scripture with you. It's this 1 Peter 3:3-4. And it says, let your true beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on the external. For lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight and is much more important than the outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes. And when I read that scripture, I said, that's what I want. I want God to look at me and see, I want the beauty, what did I write? I want the beauty that is precious in God's sight. That's what I really started to desire. And I told Kaylin, this sounds kind of corny, and you know, people probably say it all the time, but I really did want to be like Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I want to be like you. He's so kind, and you know, all these attributes that we see in Jesus, like, I want to be like that. And so we're also learning about faith, and we're learning about walking in faith, and I was reminded that faith works by love. And if I didn't have my love walk right, then my faith walk isn't going to be right. And so in Galatians 5:6, it says, these are all Passion Translation, as I said, when you are placed into the Anointed One and joined to Him, circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. All that matters now, all that matters, is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. So this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where. And I knew that that was not the emphasis in my life, and it needed to be. And God was had his finger on it and said, okay, you know, if you want to go any further, we got to deal with this. And so I went on this journey with the Lord, and probably for, I was trying to figure it out. I'm thinking maybe a year, it may be longer, maybe a little bit later, less than that. But this book and everything I just showed you, that was my Bible study every day. Every day. I didn't go anywhere else in the Word. It was this. And I was working on something. And for a long time, this was my spiritual diet. And I have this dated. It says 7/2/20. So I'm not sure. I don't think that's when I actually started this, but it probably was shortly after. This is what I have. I wrote this in here. I had this thought today. The word of love is like sugar to my heart, an ingredient in a recipe to make it sweet. I instantly thought the word being sweeter than honey, and I had forgotten that the word said that. And then I went to Psalm 119, 103. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. And Psalm 19:10, the rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. And so I knew that it was going to be the word of God that was going to sweeten me up, and nothing else could do it. It was only this word could do it. So we went on a journey, and the Lord and I made a deal, and it was, if I put his word in my heart, he will change my heart with his word. And so the journey began. And so, like I said, I've got pieces of paper written here, so I'm just going to go through like I would go through my Bible study. And we'll just go through this. And so what I allow myself to think will affect my words and behavior. Love isn't just words, it's behavior. Behavior is the way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially toward others. Love has a language. Love has a focus. Love thinks about and talks about the fine good things in others. Love stays away from the negative. And so what the Lord really showed me was it's a heart and mind connection. How to deal with both. And it made me think of Pastor's message the series that you taught about renewing the mind. I mean, as you're teaching this, you know, all these little things are coming back to me, but it truly is a heart and mind connection. Renew the mind, change the heart. And in Romans 12:2, be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through the total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. That's what we want. That's what I want. So it's going to take the renewing of the mind, which is going to affect the heart. And so this is where we went. Let's see, I've got so much stuff here. God's gracious word can make me into what he wants me to be and give me everything I could possibly need. That is Acts 20:32 in the message. And then it says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. I wanted to become a new person. That was my goal. I didn't like who I was. I didn't want to be that person anymore. I wanted a makeover from the inside out. And so God was telling me, it's the word. This is the way to do it. And, you know, this for me, it was dealing with my heart. But, you know, it may be a health issue. It may be finances. It's the same. The answer is still the same. It's getting serious with the word of God. And that's what I had to get serious with the word. So my success is in the way of love. Love makes a beautiful life. Love makes a powerful life. So this is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, and the title is Love, the Motivation of Our Lives. And I have notes here that said, love is what motivated God to send Jesus to the cross. Okay? The cross was so powerful because it was motivated by love. And love is what empowered Jesus to endure the suffering of the cross. It was love. It was love. Okay, so love. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express or practice love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. If I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love or practice love, then I'm nothing. If I were to be so generous as to give away everything I own to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love or practicing love, I would gain nothing of value. It would be done in vain. And that means, to be done in vain means producing no results, useless, pointless, fruitless, powerless, and profitless. I was like, oh, I don't want that. I don't like wasting time. And if the things that I'm doing are not going to produce good results, I don't want it anymore. So all of that, we could have all of that going on, but if it's not done in love, it means nothing. It's nothing. Okay, verse 4. I got little notes. Without love in the mix of things, there's a whole lot of nothing going on. No power. Love is what makes it all count. Love is what empowers all of that. The power and the anointing is in the love. That's where the anointing is. It's in the love. Verse 4, love is large, and I have greater than all, and incredibly patient. Patient to a great degree, extremely, or unusually. That's what incredibly means. Incredibly patient to a great degree, extremely, or unusually. Those are big words. Those are very big words. Love is gentle. And I have this one circled. And then over here, I've got the definition of love. Because I was never really quite the gentle person. You know, I was a black and white, this is the way it is, you know, take it or leave it, we're doing it my way. Gentle was not how you describe me, used to. But this is what gentle means. Mild in temperament or behavior. Sweet-tempered. Considerate, understanding, good-natured, moderate in action, not harsh or severe, but soft and tender. And so this is a definition I meditate on a lot, because I want that. I want to be that gentle person. And I'm getting there, but that's what I want. Love is the most powerful substance for building what will last forever. Love is so powerful, yet so gentle, and so personal. Wow. Okay, so love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessings come to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame or disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated, overly sensitive, or quick to take offense. So, you know, the things that pertain to me most is obviously the things I'm underlining, and I have the extra definitions for them because those are the things that I was dealing with, you know. Not easily irritated, overly sensitive, or quick to take offense. Okay, so the Lord showed me this. To be irritated and offended is acting like a victim. It's a victim's mentality. I thought, well, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm not a victim. I don't want that anymore. Yeah, it's like that's a victim mentality. So instead of being easily irritated, Cheryl, overly sensitive and quick to take offense, go over here. Instead of getting irritated or offended, love stops to consider. Stop. And try to understand what may have motivated a person to do or say. What's motivating them to act the way they're acting? Take the focus off of self and how this affects me, but what may have affected them to act this way? Be generous with understanding and compassion. And then I live generously and graciously and cheerfully and unoffended towards others. Yeah, but you know, love stops. You know, it's not always just about us. It's like we don't know what kind of a day this person's having or what they're, you know, we don't know. And so it just stop and think, wow, what's motivating them? They really must be hurting if they're acting like that. So, yeah, just it's not always about me. So love is not easily irritated, overly offensive, or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place. I love those words. Love is a safe place of shelter. It never stops believing, in my note, and declaring the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. Giving up is not an option. Because he makes all things beautiful in his time, even my heart. Don't quit on love. Give love a chance to work. That's like give God time. Give love a chance to work. Love has no expiration date. Love is eternal and it's not ruled by time, but love uses time for its benefit and advantage. I like that. Oops. Okay, verse 8. Love never stops loving. Love never quits. It extends beyond, it's more enduring, and it remains long. Love is love all the time. It's consistent at all times. Love is not ruled by circumstances or someone's actions. Love rules through every circumstance. Love is the answer in every situation. So, you know, God's telling me this. This is it. Love is, you know, it's not ruled by the circumstances. Because, you know, if you're like me, it's like, but God, did you see? You know, did you see what happened over here? And this and that. Well, he's telling me love isn't ruled by circumstances or someone's actions. Love rules through every circumstances. You know, it's like rise up and rule in love. You know, love is the answer in every situation. I am never excused from love. God is never going to excuse me from walking in love. Never. I'm never excused from love. People's actions or mistreatment do not excuse me from walking in love. But I let their actions bring out the best in me, not the worst. And that comes from Matthew 5:43-47 in the Message. Let their actions bring out the best in me. Not the ugly, but the best in me is the love of God. So when I'm experiencing people's ugly actions and mistreatment, what am I going to give back? Am I going to give back the best in me? Or it's a choice at that moment, right? Okay, I wrote here, Jesus is the king of kindness. I want to be just like Jesus. He's the king of kindness. underneath the scriptures in the Passion Translation, there's notes, and it gives original translations, and it just expands on things. So these little notes down here say, the ones I underlined, love is not overly sensitive, having sharp edges, and I put sharp teeth and a sharp tongue. Ooh, it's like, yeah, with that quick remark back, and yeah, I was pretty good at that. I was very practiced at, you know, having that sharp tongue. Love is not resentful and does not keep score. The Aramaic is love does not stare at evil. Love will overlook offenses. And overlook means to fail to notice or consider. So love will fail to notice or consider offenses and remain focused on what is good, refusing to hold resentment in our hearts. So it's our job to remain focused on the right thing. Love never looks back. It dwells on the fine good things in others. I make allowances for the faults of others because of love. Okay, down here. Paul is saying that love covers all things, like a roof covers the house. Love does not focus on what is wrong. And the word focus means to talk about and think about. So love does not talk about and think about what's wrong. Love is not on the negative side. Love is always on the positive. So when we start thinking negative about anything, really, we need to turn that around and and stop thinking and talking about the negative. Let's see, like a roof covers. Love is a safe place that offers shelter, not exposure. It does not expose the shortcomings of others. Matthew 7:5 is what I have here. Then I have, we all have shortcomings. They could be very different, but no one is perfected yet. So I think to myself, how dare me think that like my shortcomings are any less significant than somebody else's, that I would magnify their shortcomings and, you know, when I've got my own set of shortcomings that I got to deal with. It's like that you know, what I'm seeing for myself is that's really arrogant. You know, that's arrogant to think like that well, my shortcomings really don't matter, but, you know, yours really are bad. that doesn't fly that way at all. So, you know, these are things that the Lord is teaching me, you know. Well, what about your shortcomings? Are you perfect yet? No, I'm not perfect yet, so I just need to keep my eyes on me. Guarding my mind helps guard my heart and my behavior. So there's lots of things. There's a lot about the mind. The Lord kept talking to me about the mind. What are you letting yourself think about in the mind? Are you mulling over those conversations? Are you, you know, thinking about all the things that irritate you? Because if I am, it's going to get right into my heart and it's going to affect my behavior. So I really had to be very diligent and on purpose about what I'm thinking. And I had to talk to myself and say, you are not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not going to think about that. I had to do this. I am not thinking about that. I'm not going there. I'm not thinking about that. I'm not doing it because I'm guarding my heart. Yeah, it says here, by thinking about what's wrong, I expose my heart to it. And I'm told to guard my heart above all else. So if I'm allowing myself on my ride home from work to be thinking about all, she said this, he did that, and, you know, I'm not guarding my heart because it's going to get in. It's going to get into my heart, and it's going to affect my behavior and my love walk. So I've had to say, no, you're not thinking about that. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And, you know, through this journey, it didn't feel like anything was working. You know, I kept thinking, gosh, you know, I sit here and meditate on this love chapter for an hour, and then I go about my day and I blow it, you know, and it's like, oh, you know, it's like, gosh, is this working? You know, am I ever going to be this person I want to be? And I have written down here, even if I don't feel it, God never stops working in me deeply and gently. It's like God saying, don't worry, I'm working. It's like, you better be, because I don't like this. Light and easy, deep and gentle. I like that, deeply and gently. He's gentle. Thank you, Lord. And I wrote here, I believe if I continue, God will continue. If I don't quit, God won't quit. So I was telling myself, I can't quit. You know, I got to keep going on this journey no matter how many times I blow it. Okay, got to see where I want to go. Every situation calls for the love of God. Every situation. What do I have over here? Set aside my ways. Okay. My beautiful prize for which I press on. I had to keep reminding myself this. My beautiful prize for which I press on is a beautiful heart. That's my goal. That I'm going to stand before the Lord and he's going to tell me how beautiful I am. Let's see. The scripture, until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, and I put number one priority, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. You know, that word beautiful, after I read the original scripture about having that beautiful heart, I kept seeing it in the word, maybe because that's what I'm looking for, but let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. That's what I want. So it's supposed to be our number one priority above all else. faith, hope, and love, yet love surpasses them all. We have three things to lead us toward completeness: trust God steadily, hope unswervingly, and love extravagantly. Extravagantly. I should have got the definition for that, but I don't think I did. And the best of the three is love. Love is my highest goal, my greatest pursuit. And that's 2 Timothy 2:22, I think. I can't read it. It's our number one priority. And then I have a note here, progress is personal. This is a process, line upon line. I had to remind myself of this. This isn't going to happen overnight. You know, you are where you are in life now. I'm not 10 years old. I'm a little bit older than that. I've been practicing this for a long time, this bad behavior and this other way of doing things. And it's a process, line upon line, one step at a time. Did I say I didn't. The conversion is instant. The transformation is a process. You said that in service one time, and I wrote that down. The conversion is instant. I got born again in an instant. But the transformation is a process. And I have to keep reminding myself. I have to keep reminding myself of that because, you know, sometimes I'm like, gosh, am I ever going to get to where I want to be? What does Joyce Meyer say? I'm glad. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. And I have to remind myself, okay, well, I do see progress. And actually, some of my family members have said, Mom, I see a difference in you. I do see a difference in how you handle situations. So I'm like, yes, thank you, Jesus. So it's encouraging. Now, like I said, I have not arrived, but that's encouraging that they've said, you know, Mom, I noticed that you don't handle things the way you used to handle things. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm like, thank you. That's encouraging. Something, the word is working in me. let's see. This is a good one. It's never too late for faith or for the word to work. I'm never too old to start. Yeah, it's never too late. Never too late. This is a process, line upon line, one step at a time. I'll remain focused and celebrate every victory. I will not focus on the times I miss it. Because how many know we can beat ourselves up big time? I can anyway, when we miss it. It's like, oh, I blew it again. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, okay. That which is perfect is love. And is greater than the gifts. It's always the greater force. Love trumps all. Perfect love puts everything else in second place, for God is love. And so Paul is contrasting spiritual gifts with love and saying gifts will fail, but love will never fail. And like leaves falling to the ground, something greater will one day take their place, the love of God. And I have a note over here. The leaves in my life of bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, irritation, impatience, anger, and negativity, they are all falling to the ground and being replaced by love. And it says here, and I have a note here. This is me. There are seasons where the leaves fall off the trees and new growth comes. And I really felt like the Lord was saying that I'm in that season. I've been in that season where I'm shedding this old stuff. I grew up on the East Coast, and in the fall, if Pastor Carol will know, in the fall it's so beautiful, the leaves change, and then they all fall, and then they're all over your front yard, and then you got to get the rake, and you got to rake them all up, and it's work. But thank God my front yard was a hill. So we used to rake the leaves down. And then did the leaf truck come to get your leaves? We had a little vacuum, a big vacuum truck that would come and get the leaves after we played in them as kids. Or we burned them. Did you guys burn them? Oh, you had to pick them up and bag them. I think it got to that point later. But in the younger days, we were allowed to burn them. But anyway, that's what I felt like the Lord was doing with me. I felt like that I have been and am in a season where I am shedding this other stuff. These leaves are falling off of my life and being replaced by the love of God. God is the vine, and I'm the branch with the leaves. I'm a tree bearing life-giving fruit, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love. The old is gone, and the new is come. Glory to God. And this is what Kenneth Copeland says, love is the foundation that all things of God are built on. Love is the curtain rod in which all things hang. So everything, you know, love is the foundation. Everything comes from that. I want to make sure I don't miss any of my little notes. Okay. And then this one is the love chapter again, but I'm not going to read that again because we read it. I have the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I have received the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I have it. It's mine. And I just need to yield to it. I need to make a choice and yield to it. And I want to go through these. There's some good ones here. Real quick. There's some juicy ones over here. Love doesn't change with the circumstances, but love changes the circumstances. Love is an influencer. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. If we want to know if we've matured in the Lord, let's look at our love walk. Because it's not whether we prophesy or whether we give a bunch of money or anything else. The mark of true maturity is our love, our love walk. It's the mark of true success. Well, love is willing to take the brunt of things. Love is willing to get the short end of the stick. Love is always the best decision, and love is always the right way. Love never looks back, but always looks forward. The past can't change, but the future can. Love is always hopeful. Love believes, and love endures because love believes. Every step forward is a step of faith. This is John 4:19. My love for others is my grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to me. So when we don't love others, it's almost like a slap in the face and being very ungrateful for what God's done for us. My love for others is my grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to me. And then as we already read, if it's not done in love, it's done in vain, producing no results. I set the timer. It's 10 till. Yep. There was no clock up there. I thought, how am I going to know? Okay, I know what time it is. where am I? We reach the goal of fulfilling all the commandments when we love others deeply. That's 1 Timothy 1:5. Love is pure. This was a big one for me. Love is pure and does not think ugly things about anyone or anything. Love starts in the thought life. I refuse thoughts that are contrary to love. And that's a full-time job. And this one is another really big one for me. Learning to hold my tongue is another aspect of learning to love. When words are many, sin is present, and there's no love in sin. So I can honestly say I have not arrived yet, but I've gotten better at that. I just keep my mouth shut. I've become very quiet. I really have. I'm not saying a word because that wasn't, usually I would have something to say about everything, and nope, I'm just keeping my mouth shut. So you start there, I keep my mouth shut, but then you got to, get out. You can't go there either. But it's a story. Just keep my mouth shut. And that is something I'm working on. Thinking and talking. This is a good one. Thinking and talking about, I got to tell you what happened. I'm Pauline. I got to tell you what happened. I just got to tell you. Can you pray about this? I got to tell you what happened. Thinking and talking about what is wrong or hurtful is like pulling a scab off a cut so it won't heal. Let it alone so it heals. Quit talking about it, quit thinking about it, so it can heal. Here, we ready for this one's a good one. I was very good at this one. Quit trying to get God to excuse me from love by pointing out people's behavior to him.
But
You can't expect me to love. Did you see that?
Quit trying to get God to excuse me from love by pointing out people's behavior to him. It doesn't fly with him. It's no excuse. We're never excused. We're never excused from love. So I just had to come to terms with that. It's like, okay, I'm not going to go there anymore, or try not to go there anymore. To be irritated, how about this, you know, like the whole cold shoulder, irritated and offended, overly sensitive, you know, turning away from you when you talk to me. That is passive-aggressive communication, and it's a big no-no. That's not the way we're to communicate. We're to use our words in love, not by being irritated and offended and giving people the silent treatment. That, again, is passive-aggressive behavior and communication, and that's a no-no. Okay, almost done, boys and girls. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:1 in the ERV, and I was trying to remember what that is. English Revised, I don't know what it is. ERV. Love should be the goal of your life. That should be the goal of my life. Above anything else, love should be the goal of my life. New Living Translation, same verse. Let love be your highest goal. New King James, pursue love. Good News Bible, it is love that you should strive for. This should be our goal in life. The love of God, to have that love walk. In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the Passion Translation, it says, the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. So the fruit, all those different fruits that are listed there, they're expressions of love. So joy that overflows, peace that subdues, overcome, bring under control a person or feeling, patience that endures and never quits, kindness in action, that's sweetness, a life full of virtue, that's goodness, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit, which is self-control. So all those listed there are varied expressions of the love of God. And whenever you stand, so those of us that maybe are, well, we all pray. Some that come out to pray, perhaps, you know, give prayer. It's like, okay, well, how does this impact prayer? Whenever you stand, it hits every area of life, doesn't it? You can't get away from it. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, carry something in your heart against another person, I have even my neighbor, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. Don't think about it or talk about it, in order that your Father who's in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings and let them drop. So if I'm not willing to walk in forgiveness, in love and forgiveness, I mean, forgiveness is loving. That's kind of being hypocritical. Okay, so that's we completed the course. I should have brought stars to give everybody a star. You made it. You made it through my Bible study. Okay, and then over here, there's just one more. Okay. So that was the long version. And I'm not going to take you through the short version, but this is a long version that I really was in for a long time, months and months and months. I don't know how long, but it really was a long time. This is all I did. This is all I did. I was very serious about it. And then I kind of started going in other places in my Bible. I felt like the release to start reading some other things. But then there's a short version, and it's two passages in the scripture that regarding love in Ephesians and Colossians. So now I'll either do that or I do, if I really feel like I'm blowing it, I get back in this and think I need to get back into this again. But last scripture, John 13:34-35. And this is Jesus. So I give you a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate, and I have that circled, when you demonstrate
the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. And I have demonstrated love is the sickle to bring in the harvest. Love isn't just words, it is behavior, the way in which one acts or conducts oneself, especially towards others. Selah. So now, you're all accountable. What's that? Right. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that you're so good to us, and you know exactly what we need and when we need it. And Lord, you knew exactly who was going to be here tonight and who wasn't going to be here tonight. And Lord, I believe that you prompted Pastor Herman and Carol to asked me to stand up here and share this, and this is what you put on my heart. So I thank you, Lord, that this word has gone forth, and it will not return void. I thank you, Lord, that this word has entered into each of our hearts, each one of our hearts. And Lord, your word says that we're transformed and we're changed by the renewing of our mind with your word. And Lord, you said if we would put the word in, you would change our hearts with your word. So, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this word and over every heart here. And even in the days and the months that are to come, we may think, oh, that doesn't really apply to me. But, Lord, I thank you that when a situation arises, Holy Spirit, that you quicken this word. You quicken this word to each one of us and remind us. What is the most important thing in every situation, and it is the love of God. And I thank you, Lord, that we are your children, we're love children. And I just thank you that you're continuing to work, and we're going from glory to glory in this. Glory to glory. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Pastor Catherine Tubman, I don't know if some of you may know her. She was my pastor when I first got married, but she prophesied over me one time and said, the Lord calls you a love child. And that was 30-something years ago, but I've held on to that, and I thought, Lord, why would you say that? Because, you know, it doesn't seem to be, but he was talking by faith, and I've never forgotten that. And so it's like, it's time to be that love child. It's time for all of us to be that love child, because that's what the world needs, right? Just at the very end, that's what the sickle that's going to bring the harvest in. It's the love of God. The love of God. Amen.